Okay, it seems we've just managed to get hold of Ma Bilal Vaid from the Jamiatul Ulama to delegation in Turkey. For those just tuning in, inshallah, we'll be discussing with Ma the situation. They're currently within Turkey and they are assisting there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for joining us here. We just wanted to bring the listeners out there and obviously the general Muslim population up to speed in regards to the efforts of the Jamiatul Ulama. Obviously, they're making a great effort and they're doing a lot of that. Just very briefly, can you just start off, what is the purpose of this current trip to Turkey, Ma?
Alhamdulillah, we are very well. The group of brothers who come down from Turkey to visit the people of Syria. As a Muslim woman, may be well aware that there are several efforts made to assist with the plight of the Muslims that are going through difficulty and suffering in Syria as a result of the current war. So the purpose of the visit has been to come and inspect some of the projects to see what is the current situation and to see what further interventions can be made to assist in terms of the humanitarian crisis that is unfolding as part of the war.
Mara, it's a very pertinent question that people, when donating money, they always have this fear. There's always that fear that aid may not reach its intended recipients. Sometimes and in South Africa, with corruption, we see it very often. How important is it to have checks and balances there, and what are the checks and balances and the systems and mechanisms involved to ensure that the money is actually reaching those people that need the money?
That is one of the very important purposes of the visit, where communication is done with partner organizations who implement projects on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama and the other organizations that we work with. And we come from time to time to these countries to see to what extent the reporting and the communications we receive, to what extent it is in place, and if there is need for improvement in any ways, those special things. But alhamdulillah, we can to a great extent everything is above board, and we are satisfied with the level of education and the way the aid is being provided to the Muslim Ummah here in this part of the world.
Alhamdulillah. Mara, can you just perhaps share with the listeners some of the current projects that Jamiatul Ulama are involved with in Turkey?
The current visit that we've come with a group of brothers from an organization that is well known in China, known as Wings of Mercy Foundation. And currently the situation here, it's but cold, close to zero, sub-zero temperatures. And one of the important interventions this time of the year is providing winter clothes for the people that are in the streets in the refugee camps. It's a unique situation. You walk into a refugee camp, children and, people who are staying literally under trees, sometimes in tents for the past 3 or 4 years, and with a smile on the face, you speak to a child and ask ask them how are they, they'll tell you, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. The child doesn't hardly has clothes on their body, hardly has shoes to put on their feet. But with a smile on their face, they insisted to come in and be hospitable to you. So it's a unique situation where people have, really submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this particular person will come in assisting Wings of Mercy Foundation in providing winter food, winter clothing for the children, providing some food as well as flour and blankets for the refugees and those that have been displaced as a result of the war.
I think we're obviously most definitely indebted to the Wings of Mercy Foundation. Just can you give us a very brief discussion about why is it so important to partner up with these different organizations besides Wings of Mercy? I know that Jamiat is partnered up with different organizations. Why do we partner up with them?
It's a very important question you're asking, Maulana. The unfortunate situation is that the humanitarian crisis is so huge that even if we have a host of organizations partnering together. The need is so great that it's not even the tip of the iceberg. You know, the people are very appreciative for the solutions that this movement in South Africa. You know, we visited a hospital that is run by one of the organizations from South Africa, and you know, the doctors there were so grateful to the Muslim community to say that people are thousands of kilometers away. Your population is so small, you hardly have the numbers, but the feeling that you have for us, the aspiration that you have for us, the way you empathize and share with our plight, is something that really they are so grateful for. People from other populations that not necessarily that have much more affluence, much more access to providing aid and providing amenities for people in the Muslim women that are suffering are not necessarily doing that. So, you know, it's actually the need really for governments to get involved to a certain, which is not happening. The huge conglomerates of humanitarian organizations from like the United Nations and those the like, they don't see them. And it is definitely, we are one ummah. It's not that we need to be compartmentalizing. We assist one another in trying to remove the plight of Muslims wherever they are.
I think that's very important. And like you mentioned, Nabi alayhi salam has also mentioned that, you know what, the Muslim ummah as a whole is like one body. If one part gets hurt, then the rest of the body should feel the pain also. And I think we all, from South Africa, the Muslims also, it happens very often that is why we sympathize with the Muslims in Palestine and the Muslims all over in the world when in different problems. Through your various interactions with various people on the ground, what information are you able to share on the current situation within Syria itself?
The current difficulties that people are really facing and finding challenging is the most the recent bombings that are happening as a result of the coalition from Russia and the countries that are part of the coalition. It's bombings that are indiscriminate. The greatest amount of casualties are civilians, women, children. You know, we have reached a point now where the war is now almost at getting to a 5 year, almost 5 years, and there seems like no end in sight. How and when the situation is going to calm down? People are just tired and just want the war to come to an end in life to return to some degree of normality. But it doesn't seem like it's anywhere near on the horizon. And the great difficulty now is that people who are absolutely innocent, who have left, who are displaced, who have left their villages because of looking for areas of safety, but they are falling under the reign of...
Mora, in terms... Mahfoud, sorry, I think I just lost you there for a second.
No problem. I'm not sure at which point you lost me, Mora.
You just this last in the last 10 seconds or so, we didn't get
What I was saying is that the greatest challenge people are facing at the moment is the fierce artillery and the bombs that have been dropped on innocent civilians, you know, women and children, who have absolutely nothing to do with the war and who are just now reached a point of frustration, of absolute tiredness, where they say, now it's like now 5 years and how long more. Do we go on with the situation? It's just a cry and a plea for the war to stop and for life to return back to some degree of normality.
Amara, I think you just brought up the coalition. I think it's a very important thing with Russia siding with the Syrian government and slowly attacking more and more indiscriminately. Have you seen a larger number in terms of the refugees coming into Turkey and that, or is it still around the same numbers?
The unfortunate situation is that the neighboring countries now have also reached their capacity and they're having difficulty in taking more. Internal displacement, yes, that is happening on a daily basis. Not necessarily people are able to cross borders because of political situations and difficulties in that regard. But internal displacement is definitely happening on an ongoing basis. Just 2 days ago, we entered a refugee camp and a whole lot of refugees, new refugees are coming in, bringing the goods, looking for shelter. Very sub-zero temperatures, they've got just whatever they could carry with their, in their hands, and they to move on. You meet people in refugee camps and they tell you that, you know, this is the third or fourth place that we've come to every few months, moving from place to place, wherever we can find some degree of peace and some degree of sanity, some degree of protection for our ourselves and for our families. So not necessarily people are being able to cross borders and going to other countries, but internal displacement is definitely something that's ongoing, and in certain regions the war is still happening very fiercely.
Mara, in terms of the refugees and what they need, now you mentioned sub-zero temperature. So besides food, water, some shelter and some clothing, what other things are direly needed for these refugees to at least get some decency in their life?
Obviously, there is a great need in terms of providing healthcare and improving and assisting the healthcare facilities that are trying with the meager resources that they have to provide some relief to the injured, to those who are suffering with various diseases. Because of these situations, you know, obviously it gives inappropriate or unhygienic situations that people are compelled to live in. It gives rise to certain sicknesses which we see in the children. People are, you know, it gives rise to a lot of other difficulties. So in the area of healthcare, definitely that is something. And what furthermore is an important area which we need to be looking into is that the education and development of these displaced people, especially the children, because it's 5 years now, children have not been in school, children are, you know, people are just passing time like that because there's nothing for them to do. So it's and what will happen in the end and the long run is we will have a generation of children or generation of people who are unskilled and won't have the ability to basically stand on their own feet. So the education and Islamic tarbiyah of these children is something that is very essential. It is happening to some extent, but there is definitely a need to improve those structures, to support those structures, and to provide some sort of support to them in a way with those who are providing do it in a much better way.
Well, that's a very important topic you mentioned, the education, and obviously we've been discussing over the last few weeks Islamic education and the maktab system. And obviously in a refugee situation, they have the very basic needs in the forefront of their mind. But in terms of the Islamic tarbiyah, what is being done in the maktab, etc.?
Definitely what we have noticed, and it's something that is very positive as a result of the war, it has brought out the good of people in the sense that much more you see the elements in people's lives, in the way they're dressing, the way they're acting with people, that they are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are now becoming more conscious of their salah, of hijab, of Quran, of these type of things. as a result of this difficulty, there is definitely that noticeable difference in the lives of people. Yes, there are some organizations, some groups of local Syrian people who are trying to teach the Quran, you know, memorization of Quran, teaching basic aspects of Islam, basic aspects of deen to the children, to the adults. These harakats happen in the masajid, but it's not sufficient, and there's a great amount of funding required to sustain these efforts because, you know, a lot of people are doing it on a voluntary basis of their own. But as a result of the war, prices of commodities have not even probably tripled or if not more than that. So these things need to be sustained in order to create a generation that's going to be able to be well equipped in terms of the Islam, in terms of the spirituality, in terms of their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mara, those people out there listening, inshallah, and they decide they want to help or assist in some way, what are avenues that they can get involved in assisting with the crisis in Turkey and Syria?
Like I said earlier, there's various different organizations that are doing work for the Syrian people, whether it is Imam al-Rama, whether it is Wings of Mercy, whether it is Gift of the Keepers, or whichever other organization, various projects are being implemented. So wherever we feel and the listeners feel comfortable, they should, you know, pour their hearts out. And the challenge that organizations are facing at the moment is that as a result of the war, also the donor community is becoming fatigued, and the amount of donations and aid that has been received from the community is definitely being is reduced to a great extent. Yes, it is a challenge, and unfortunately, as a community in South Africa, we tend to be very reactionary. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us that we've always poured out our heart for people who are suffering, people who are in need, and let's not forget them. You know, when you meet the people and you convey the salam of the Muslim community from South Africa, it's something which is very well appreciated. And as we know from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dua of the oppressed is goes unchecked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it goes directly up to the arsh of Allah. So we've tried to convey the message to ask them for the duas of the Muslim community, and very, very much appreciative of the role that Muslims in South Africa are playing. So we would like to put out an appeal to the Muslim community to continue their support, to open their hearts, and to continue doing their part in aiding those who are in difficult and dire situations.
JazakAllah Mawlana Bilal for that very informative discussion and information regarding the Syrians on the in Turkey at the moment. We'll make dua for them, inshallah, and we hope that the listeners out there are also making dua and they try and assist in whatever way possible. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi.
That was Mawlana Bilal Bayd from Turkey talking to us live, discussing the project of the Jamiatul Ulama within Turkey in assisting the Syrian refugees that are going through the probably the biggest problems in their life at this time. And being a refugee is obviously one of the hardest things. You do not know where you are going to be. Today you could be here, tomorrow you're going to be there. And as Mawlana has mentioned, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist these people in these times of difficulty and to bring a quick resolution to this war so that inshallah these people can return home and get a small semblance back of their life.